It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We have Cynthia Hasswinder, who is in the middle studio.
And Ann.
Good morning, Cynthia. And Ann is coming in as we speak. And we'll have her say good morning, too, just for the hell of it.
And that's Jill's copy of Compass, by the way. Hello.
That was my copy of Compass.
That's Marshall's copy.
Does she need a compass?
No, we just stole Marshall's.
No, we got it all done.
Oh, is that why I don't have it?
We got it all done. Let's welcome in Janet Mango. No. Good morning, Janet.
Actually, they didn't steal yours, Marshall. They stole mine.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Oh, well. Neither of us was at the office yesterday.
That's right. When we get to Compass, I don't have it, so I'll just hand it over to whoever's got it.
It's a great compass.
All right.
And, you know, Ann Day wrote a lot, and Ann Day can't say it, but she's her best writer.
And Ann
posted
a lot of nice pictures this week on her Instagram account.
She's a photographer, too. You know?
She likes unbelievable.
Pretty talented, she's that one.
All right, let us get to the paper, the Lakeville Journal. One thing that you'll cover probably in depth next week, and that is the decision of the Salisbury Selectmen, which happened last night, to release the report on Art Wilkinson in full. And they had it posted on their website as we were leaving last night as well. So if anybody wants to see the full document, it's there.
Really heartbreaking.
Oh,
and,
just a devastating story.
You posted something, Marshall, on Instagram, I saw.
Yeah, I posted a link to it with a picture of it. It's amazing, but a link.
Oh.
And those links have had over 3,000 clicks already. But the credit, when government goes right, it goes right. The Salisbury Board of Selectmen got the report, and they're publishing it, and anybody that wants to see it can see it, and anybody that has any problems that needs counseling, they've set up Greenwood's counseling to handle that if anybody else comes forward. So I'm very proud of the way Salisbury has handled a very dark part of its past and brought light on it.
Yes.
So congratulations. Government does work, folks. It really does, even though you hear that it doesn't sometimes. Let's go to the first upper left-hand side of the front page. Nuvance, HealthQuest. We spoke to the CEO this week, and you've got a story on, once again, a very, 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 very big.
We thought this was going to be the biggest story of the week, and it ended up being sort of like, oh, yeah. There's so much stuff happened last week. But HealthQuest, which is the company that owns Sharon Hospital, had been planning to merge with Western Connecticut Health Network, and they're trying to expand their coverage area. So it's Dutchess County down into Litchfield County and the western part of Connecticut. So that was approved by the state, and the hope is that they will be offering more service to customers here, and there will be more efficiencies in terms of running these not-for-profit hospitals, and they expect that it will save $1 million per year for Sharon Hospital.
All right. Now, I want to get your opinion on it, Cynthia, and you can chime in too, but also yours, Janet. The protest march opposing a GOP activist in Kent, the interesting part of that story is I don't know whether it's good to protest speakers or not. I mean, to try to stop a speaker from speaking.
Well,
protesting is one thing, but it's America, and I'm so conflicted on this story.
As these things go, it was a pretty polite, civilized, well-behaved confrontation in which people came to the first electman and said, "You know, we feel like this is upsetting to us, and taxpayers are paying to run this building, and we don't want this person coming to speak." And the first electman said, "It's first of all, pretty much anybody who calls can sign up." And he didn't actually know that this guy was coming or who he was. And his feeling was, and the town attorney also said, "It's a First Amendment issue. You can't say this guy can't come because you don't like his opinions." But I think that they all handled it really well, which is that they called together very quickly a protest on the streets, but they held it down the street. Nobody went in and disrupted. There was a funeral going on right next door to where the talk was being held. And as a courtesy to the families and the community at the funeral, they made a special point of being very quiet and starting at Falcon Field, which is not right next to the speaking venue, and then they walked down all the way in the opposite direction to St. Andrew Church.
Holding a protest is one thing, but now you see this happening all over the place where speakers are booked and then people complain and then they're not allowed to speak. And Boy, I'm so conflicted about that.
I have to say I am too, and that one of the solutions they're talking about is not to allow political events at this community house, but I think that would be a loss.
Where else would you have them?
There are lots of events. You know, each election cycle, the Lakeville Journal tries to host candidate debates. Would that not be allowed at the community house? And I guess not, if you don't allow political events.
Would it not be allowed at a school?
That's a big part of community life.
Yep.
I think also did anyone hear what he actually said?
Yeah, he just was talking about how to get people to register as Republicans. But I think that also what's tricky is that when you're signing up for these talks, you don't actually have to say what the talk is for. And in fact, that was part of what they were complaining about. What they said, it's a voter registration workshop, which in fact it was. But they didn't say, and Scott Presler is coming. I'm not even sure that they knew that Scott Presler was coming when they organized it, although presumably they did. But you could say anything. And
you know, this judge recently died, Judge Sweet, and he was the one who said that begging basically on the streets of New York was a First Amendment right. Mm. You could do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't have your First Amendment selective. You just can't.
Yeah, that's as the ACLU teaches us, sometimes you support things that you don't feel good about on your inside.
Sorry.
All right. Now, as you said, it was a big week, a Newsweek story, and everything broke in the beginning, the middle part of the week. Infinity Hall has been sold, both of the Norfolk location and the Hartford location, to a promotion group.
Right, and it sounds like what they're trying to do is you know, this is actually an issue that's a lot about compassion, and what they're trying to do is raise money through concerts and give some of that back into the community. And also, and this is going to impact more the Hartford location than the Norfolk location, which already has, you know, big national acts, but also does have local acts. If you've ever seen Darling Side there, they're like a local band, but very, very good. And so they're going to be trying to do more of that in Hartford. And their thing is, we want to get more young people coming in. Well, of course, I hate to be so bleak, but there's not that many young people here. But in Hartford, there are. And so what they're trying to do is get more young bands and make it a little bit more of a lively draw there.
All right. Now, immigration, it really takes a big stage, not only in the story that Patrick wrote, but the story about the Kent resident who awaits word on deportation.
So Tina Santiago is apparently a very beloved resident of Kent. And at first when the story came out, people were saying, well, somebody in town turned him in. But it would appear that that is not what's happening. It looks like what's happening is ICE, the federal agency, is looking at traffic stops. And there had been a couple traffic stops for this man. So they traced him down through that. And people are very upset about it. He's got a second hearing on May 3rd. And we'll hope that something magical happens for him. But then the flip side of that is there was a talk held over the weekend at Trinity Church organized by the Reverend John Carter, who is a very beloved local minister at St. John's in Salisbury. And he's working to help immigrants in the area, he with a group called Vecinos Seguros. And they were they had a case that was very similar to Tino Santiago, of somebody who had been picked up by ICE, and what you can do to sort of step in and help. And they had an immigration lawyer who said, you know, if I had some volunteers, I could do an awful lot more.
All right, go on to the Region 1 2020 budget, basically staying the same.
Yeah, which, so pupil services, which is basically special education support for students, has gone way, way down. And what happens is every now and then you have a student with an outstandingly expensive need. And of course, as a community, we totally want to support that, but it can be really expensive. And so when a student moves through the system and graduates out, then that can lead to a huge cost savings. So the pupil services budget is way down, and that allows a little bit of upward movement in some of the other budgets, and it allows it to stay at zero.
All right. And Nature's Notebook, one of nature's great migrations.
I said to Tim Abbott, I want to go out with you one day and look for salamanders, and he didn't answer me, so I guess I'm not going.
No.
He thinks I'll be too noisy. But so Tim, and you know, people do actually stand out in the middle of the roads around here, and they know certain places that are migrations for these rare salamanders and lizards. And part of, like, without getting too deep into the weeds here, what often happens is we build roads and houses and driveways into the natural migration paths of these animals as they're going from the vernal pool over to their eventual, where they'll, you know, grow to adulthood. And so sometimes people stand out in the road and actually stop cars as the salamanders make their very slow way across the street. So that's what Tim is talking about. But also he reports on a couple of unusual sightings of unusual salamanders.
All right, we go inside and lots of color pictures. The Housatonic robotics team, Deep Space.
Yeah, the robotics team is like a sports team there. It's very popular. There's cheerleaders and there's athletes and there's support staff and a really great program.
Color pictures on the next page, Norfolk's Heavenly Treasures and Dreaming Up Worlds That Are Full of Magic and Free of Screens.
No, that's right. Well, a different kind of screen. Glass screens. So Deb Alexinas went over to Norfolk where there are some extraordinary examples of stained glass, including some by Lewis Comfort Tiffany, just in time for the Easter season. And, of course, all of our churches are open and happy to have you come and worship during the high holidays.
And I guess even though this will be up in the paper, it happened too late. In Cornwall, respects to Mr. Van Doren, who passed away.
Right, Charles Van Doren.
I interviewed him twice, and he was just a gentleman. I really liked him from the two times I sat with him for almost 2.5 hours to get 20 minutes of interviews. But just a guy you could sit and listen to talk.
Smart
all the time.
Guy, yeah.
Now let's go on to sugar makers once again. There you go.
I just want to point out that Ann Day wrote a story for me on the wonderful Hope Bentley, Hugh Cheney's daughter.
Oh, very nice of you, Ann.
Yes, I know. Ann does so much for us.
All right. Sugaring.
Yeah, so it was a very, very sappy season and lots. It's been just a lovely spring so far. I was driving to New York yesterday and just the sky, unbelievable. From the time I left at 9 in the morning till the time I got home at 8 at night, just unbelievable sky yesterday. And so a beautiful spring season for maple syrup, pretty steady and consistent, as it isn't always in New England. Freezing cold temperatures at night led to sunny days, and that just pushes that sap right out of the trees and into the little rubber tubes that you see that many people are using now. Some people still use the old-fashioned metal buckets, but mostly, like Russ is holding there, his tubes got eaten by squirrels, which
is
annoying.
That's why it's nice to use metal buckets.
Yeah, although if you found a squirrel swimming around in your sap, that would mean that you couldn't use that whole sap bucket.
Yeah, you boil it down anyways. Yeah, come on.
A little protein,
yeah.
All right, and the Mini Maker Fair was at Hotchkiss.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of these maker fairs. They had one at Indian Mountain School. They're having one at Hotchkiss, and they bring people in doing interesting, sort of funky little projects. And, of course, it's a national thing, but it's tailor-made for the Northwest Corner where you have so many people who are doing weird science.
All right, and you've got a story now that it's springtime to find a local CSA.
That's right, and so Janice Siller, who is the farm director at Camp Isabella Friedman, which is a CSA over in Falls Village right around the corner from us, is doing a series of profiles of the different CSAs. Next week, I think we have Gordon Ridgway's farm. The week after, I think we have Rocksteady. And this is the time of year to sign up and get your share, and that's a pretty luscious array of vegetables there. If that doesn't tempt you, then you must not like vegetables.
I couldn't work at the CSA because I'd steal all the pickles. But anyways,
that's right. They have famous pickles.
Best in the world. All right. Let's go on to sports. The Tangled Line by Patrick Sullivan.
First Day of Fishing is coming up on Saturday, one of the big days of the Lakeville Journal year. And, of course, we also have Easter egg hunts this Saturday. And Patrick Sullivan shares some of his secrets on the best places to go and angle. And of course, there are a couple of them where he says, I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I found it. You can find it too. But he'll give you some good clues in there.
Nice story on Jason Diamond going from small town hockey to college hockey.
That's right. Dean Diamond, who is the beloved pizza maker of Lakeville, his two sons both played college hockey. Jason is up in, I think it's Becker College in Massachusetts. And my sports writer, John Torsiello, said, hey, this guy's a big deal. Let me do a profile on him. And he did, and he is.
All right, and Lime Rock Park had kind of like an unofficial official opening this past weekend, benefited the fund for Michael Fox.
Michael J. Fox. Yeah. So they had hot laps. You could buy a hot lap for $75, and the Michael J. Fox Parkinson's Research Foundation is the beneficiary again for this year. We have a lot of local connection to Michael Fox and to Parkinson's. But on May 18th, the park is going to be open. You can read some details in that article.
All right, let's go to the editorial, A Way to Help, Feet on the Ground.
That's right. This is a story sort of related to all the immigration things we're covering lately, but not exactly, because it's a story of a Salisbury man who many in Salisbury know, Jim Britt, who worked at Salisbury Central School for 12 years and was a reporter at this newspaper in the late 80s. And anyway, he ended up moving to Guatemala and beginning a mission there that he is very dedicated to help young people, children and young people, get an education in a very difficult environment. We talk about it in depth. We had he was back in the area last week and was good enough to come to the Lakeville Journal office to sit and speak with us and let us know what the background was, why he became so involved with this particular city in Guatemala, Santiago Atitlan, and what keeps him there. And it's a fascinating story. And for anybody who wonders what they're going to do in retirement, any of those who can consider retiring, this is an interesting path he's chosen. So do take a read.
He hasn't retired. He's just relocated.
Yes, he's still, right. He worked with kids for all those years, yeah. And you know, still is doing that in a different location. You're right.
And he comes back and visits. He's and he keeps us informed while he's away as well. What's going on? Lots of letters this week about lots of various topics.
That's right. We are always pleased that our readers are so engaged and want us to know what they're thinking about, and so we have. Catherine Palmer Payton talking about supporting victims to keep a healthy society, make a healthy society. Janet Lynn talking about the state of Connecticut not being able to take any more taxes. Roberta Willis and Jessica Fowler talking about staying connected in this rural area. Marie Barnum, she's talking about National Day of Prayer. And George Massey just had to share how great he thought the concert was at Hotchkiss last weekend, and he's right. We're lucky to have the venue and so many great events there.
And national stories brought local with the story on the Golan Heights by Anthony Peel, Matt Gordon thoughts on Operation Varsity Blue, and a very part one. I can't wait for part two. Ralph Nader's take on Boeing's avoidable time bonds.
Right, Ralph Nader, you know, of course, this is where he shines, is analyzing situations like this. And certainly he understood this about cars. He understands it about airplanes and did a lot of research and really gives insight into what went behind Boeing's design for this the 737 MAX airplanes that had these two crashes and have been grounded. And it's fascinating. The second part gives even more insight, so keep an eye out for that. And there will be a this part of Tony Peel is the second part of his series. Do take a look at the first if you haven't seen it. He has insight as well into this part of the world, like few people do, and it's fascinating.
All right, on the health page, you've got a big story, Cynthia, on collagen and the new leader at the Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association.
That's right. Nancy Deming is filling in for Donna DiMartino, who's so wonderful and is finally retiring, long overdue, and has been filling in there because she's a saint. And I've been taking collagen supplement powder every day, and I'm sure I look younger and better. And you can find out all about collagen in that article. And then we had a wonderful weekend. A perfect antidote to all the protests in Kent over the weekend was the health and wellness activities at Meet, Play, Flow.
That was like a 10-day event, which had so many great different activities. It really was. They just don't. They know how to do things like that in Kent. They got something. Yeah. I think they're angling to get something for every month of the year.
Yeah, they have a very active chamber.
All right. Well, speaking of active, we have 4 minutes left, and I've heard so much about this compass section. I don't have one myself. It was stolen, but I know, Anne, you can tell me all about it.
That's how popular they are.
That's right.
They're flying off the shelf. Yes, we have a tabloid this week. We have 12 beautiful color pages, and there's I'll just go through it quickly. Gloria Bell, there's a review that I wrote of the movie starring Julianne Moore, and you can see what I thought about it when you read the review. It's definitely a great performance by Julianne Moore. I personally think John Turturro is the creepiest guy that ever lived, so to have him as a love interest was problematic for me, and I think ultimately for Julianne Moore also. Okay, then we have, there's a really, really good small show at James Baron Art in Kent, photographer named Larry Sultan, who died in 2009. He's just a brilliant photographer, slash artist who photographs everyday life, and is especially in this show, there are pictures of his parents, and the cover of Compass is one of his pictures of his father practicing his golf swing. I'm sorry, I'm not really giving this show justice. Read my review and go see the show. It's only up till the end of the month. Then we have a review of a beautiful watercolor show down in Washington Depot. I don't go down there that much in Compass, but I felt that this was worth doing. The artist is named Charlotte Fries, and she has a local connection. I think she grew up part of her life up in this area, now lives in Los Angeles, and has beautiful watercolors at KMR. We also have, this is a special art and antiques issue. We have a review by Marsden of Millerton's fabulous antique store called Montage. And there's that strip there, which we mentioned, all three. There's Hunter B., Montage, and then the Millerton Antique Center. And then across the street, there's another antique store. So you can kind of, it's like a becoming a little mini mecca of antiques on Main Street in Millerton. We've also got a nice story about Black Squirrel Antiques in Lakeville, which used to be Dr. Gott's office. It's really fun to go in there. They invited me upstairs to see what they've done. The entire building looks like an antique store, even though they live upstairs. Then we have Andrew Craven has a small gallery in Lakeville, which he's about to close, and this is his last show. There are six portraits in the show, all by famous artists. Definitely go see it. And he's moving to Kent in May. So this will be the last show in that little space. It's the space across from the post office. But it's worth seeing the work, getting to know what he's interested in, and then you can go visit him in Kent. Then we have a review by Divya Simmers of a book by Mary Norris, who wrote The Adventures of the Comma Queen. And she will be speaking at the White Hart on April 17th, next Wednesday. And she's the one who's made grammar fun and interesting and humorous. And we need more writers like this. We used to have William Sapphire in the New York Times, who would talk about language trends. And there's not enough people writing about language. And Mary Norris talks about grammar, but she also discusses the history of the language in this book. And it's all based on her trips to Greece. And that is, we have a great calendar. On Saturday night at the Mahewi, the American Brass Quartet will be performing. Okay. And is that it?
You've got about another minute. You're good.
Oh, I've been rushing. I could just stroll through this. Anyway, yeah, there's a good concert. These people called Close Encounters with Music, who I've gotten to know on the phone. I guess everybody else at the Lakeville Journal already knew them, but I like them. I like what they do. I like their whole love of music and enthusiasm, and they're always bringing great concerts to the area. So that's it.
All right. Now, next week you have to do something on the 40th at the movie house. I think it's next week, the 40th anniversary of Life of Brian.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. I didn't know that.
They had a special showing.
Thursday the 8th. I think the 18th it said in the ad.
Yeah. 40th anniversary. Hard to believe. 40 years.
Wow. Always look on the bright side of life.
You know, I always tell the story. I was working at a radio station where I got a movie theater to allow 94 cents, which was our location. Everybody can come that wanted to come for 94 cents when the movie opened, right? Well, they filled three mini theaters.
Wow.
Everybody got a Coke and popcorn with it. And if you remember back then when the movie was released, within a week it was pulled out of the theaters because of the religious uproar about it.
Yep.
And it was pulled out of the theaters within like a week to 10 days.
Which just reminds you that there have been uproars about so many things. Yeah. You know,
but that was
very exhausting.
But there's an ad for that with details in Compass.
There's not an unfunny moment in that movie.
Yeah.
See you guys next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You can find them on the web, tricornernews.com.